Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action, about the gospel of the kingdom. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Well, we are going to start the show off today with a couple of things. First of all, last night, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, almost 650 patriots showed up for the Stop the Deep State rally and presentation by Alex Newman. America is rising up right now. It is happening right now. We're going to go through a couple news articles that should warm your heart. But America is rising up right now. Be a part of it. The communist insurgency in this country, the attempted communist revolution in this country, is now facing American patriots, and they are standing up all over this country, but particularly here in the American readout. Just last week, it was announced that the number one fastest growing area in the country is Coeur d'Alene. The fifth fastest growing country is Spokane Valley, Spokane. Patriots are flocking here from all over. And I hope they're beginning to listen to Patriot Radio, because here is free America. The American readout is free America. And I want you to take note about something if you've not heard of this yet, but go to readoutreport.com. readoutreport.com. It is a news aggregate for this area, so you can get around all the junk that's out there and go straight for the truth. You don't have to listen to the fake news media like KXOY and CNN and all that. You can go straight to the truth. So bookmark that page, readoutreport.com. Also, if you have not heard of The New American, you have never listened to Patriot Radio, but The New American, the premier intelligence digest in the country regarding what is happening with the globalists and the Marxists, thenewamerican.com, and regarding the jihadis, the foremost website understanding the threat. So check those out. People keep asking me, where do I go for news? It's unfiltered. First, start with Readout Report, because it's an aggregate of all these different things. And you can find a lot on there. The other way you can do that is download the app called Superfeed. Superfeed. And you can choose your own news outlets that will come into that, although it doesn't have a lot of the local stuff like Readout Report does. So those are two options there. I hope you do that. Get yourself educated. Get your friends and family educated. There is so much happening right now in the world. We need to keep our eyes wide open, be prepared, and stand up as patriots against not just the Marxists, but stand up against this traitorous apathy, which ends up aiding and abetting our enemies, that the rhinos and establishment Republicans have become so known for. And do not get fooled. Do not get fooled. These guys will try to sound like conservatives, but when the chips are down, like with Vice President Pence, they do the wrong thing. Which is why now a lot of things are beginning to come out. They're beginning to come out. They're beginning to come out, the links between China and what's happening here in the United States of America. Now, Trevor Loudon has done some of it. More is coming out. The fact that the Chinese, as part of their strategy, wanted to attack America via an election and said that in 2016. The fact that government here in this state of Washington does not have your best interests at heart. That should be obvious now, but for a lot of people, it's not. They don't have your best interests at heart. Governor Inslee does not have your best interests at heart. A lot of the bureaucrats, now there are some good bureaucrats that are out there that are patriots, but a lot of the bureaucrats don't have your best interests at heart. They have an agenda. And if you don't believe me, you could go look at the spending in campaigns by bureaucrats. Who did they actually send money to? And you see an overwhelming, you're talking in the 80th and 90th percentile in most agencies, of bureaucrats giving to Marxists. Okay, so right now, people have been asking, what do we do? I just gave you one of the key things, and that is get the right information, the true information, and go to those places and do that. Number two action item. If you have not downloaded Wire and you have not downloaded Sessions, do it. Some of you are on Signal and you should be. It's okay, but it is not totally secure. In fact, it actually allows for relationship mapping because it is based on phone number. So while they might not know what you're saying, they know who you're talking to. And sometimes, as Bill Binney said, that might be the most important thing for them to learn. Also, make sure you get encrypted email. And I've talked about it on the show before. Get your communications secure and get your friends and your family that are of like mind on these systems so that you can disseminate information if they try to shut down or there, is a cyber attack, a massive cyber attack that shuts the internet down or the phones or both. We're in this time and there are still people out there that might be saying, but look, 10 years ago, we were warning about this. It is now here. And if they're not going to wake up now, take care of your family, your friends that are of like mind, that are awake. Take care of them first. And then worry about your neighbor who is clueless or is suffering from normalcy bias that everything is going to continue the way it always has. Because what they have in store, they're putting out now in the wide open. And if you don't believe that, go check out the World Economic Forum and Dr. Evil Klaus Schwab and what he has been saying. Read his book. Don't go buy it, as Alex Newman said. I totally agree. Don't go buy it. Go to the library. Read his book about the fourth industrial revolution and what these people really want to do here in the next 10 years by 2030. The one quote was, "You will own no property and you will be happy." Well, that sounds exactly like communism and antithetical to everything we believe in as Christians and Americans. So don't waste your time on people who are not awake, that just try to argue with you. This stuff isn't true. Go get the right information. Take care of your friends and family that are of like mind and that are awake first. All right. Now from the front, your daily intelligence briefing on the international front, coming to us from the New American magazine. Christianity as hate speech. Will what's happening in Finland, you heard this right, Finland, finish America? Now, Finland, in the World War II era, was invaded by the Soviet Union and fought them off. However, now the nation is turning its guns on the Christian faith, at least insofar as it is expressed authentically. The ex-minister of the Interior of Finland, currently a member of the nation's parliament, wrote this, quote, God created them as men and women. Gay relationships challenge the Christian conception of man. In addition to that, this minister or ex-minister published other Christian viewpoints. And 70% of Finns call themselves Christians. That is the context of what I am saying right now. And yet, the belief systems of Finland have showed it to be a hollowed out Christian country. And activists like this and ministers like this are essentially being muzzled. Understand that that's what their plan is for America, to try to hollow out America and the value system. And I have heard this asinine fallacy. It is a logical fallacy that says you can't legislate morality. That is a logical fallacy, and it is asinine. And I'm going to tell you why. Because all legislation is based on a moral system or a worldview. The question is, whose? That is always the question. There is always a moral underpinning to every system. The question is, whose morality? So let's just get rid of all the pretensions that are out there. And the fact of the matter is, for 225 years, the Christian moral underpinning of America was fantastic, led to the most prosperity, led to the most money sent overseas to help people of any other nation in history. So it worked conclusively. And in fact, the atheist communist Chinese did a study on this, which was reported in a book called Jesus in Beijing by David Aikman. It's at the very beginning. It's the first couple dozen pages where he talks about how they came to the conclusion that what made America great was Christianity. What made Western civilization great was Christianity and is Christianity. So what we're seeing in Finland is what they're doing. What we have to do is say, wait, America is great because of the Christian moral underpinnings of this country and not be ashamed of it. In fact, it is the Christian moral underpinnings of this country that have allowed freedom of religion for people that we disagree with. Now, the Marxists and their sympathizers like Sean Vestal and these guys, they will try to turn that on their head and say, oh, no, you guys are trying to impose some sort of Iranian regime. You know, what are you talking about? It is the Christian moral foundation that is what made America great, but also what's allowed such freedom. Because Christians believe there should be a choice. If you don't want to worship God, okay, we're going to evangelize you, but if you don't want to worship God, okay. But it was the Christian moral foundation that allowed for that choice. Unlike Islam, which brings us to the next thing on the international front, coming to us from Mothership. The French military, specifically retired generals and active military personnel, wrote an open letter on the 60th anniversary of a failed coup attempt by French generals. They wrote this letter warning that their country is headed towards a civil war. And the letter very clearly pointed out that Islamists were taking over parts of the country. And that as a result, they were preparing in these Islamist areas to foment civil war in France and try to take over the country. These generals are warning against it. I think that's the first time we've actually heard that out of Europe, other than Poland, the Czech Republic, Austria, Hungary, and Northern Italy. They understand the threat here. And moving to the next thing on the international front, this coming to us from Technocracy News, China is now moving forward, as was said by multiple individuals that are part of the New World Order scheme. Moving ahead is kind of the template for how everything else should look. Yes, the mass murdering. In fact, it is the greatest mass murdering regime in world history. Is now, according to this New World Order cabal, the template for the rest of the world, and specifically things like social credit scoring. And this is the article from Technocracy News. They are expanding the social credit score system globally. It is now openly operational in Western Canada. Well, how you say are they doing that? Well, these Chinese restaurants that are franchises but really owned by the Chinese Communist Party, and if not directly, very clearly indirectly, are now installing surveillance systems in their restaurants. Haidilao Hot Pot in Vancouver, BC, for example, confirmed over 60 surveillance cameras have been installed, and it is part of the social credit score system, and they're actually tracking people, and also they're punishing staff if they don't adhere to corporate standards, and the information is being sent to China, and it looks like it's being sent to China real time. Yes, it's here. Also, China is moving forward, according to Technocracy News in a separate article. They're moving forward with their digital yuan. And it's their, look, this is some sort of a dream currency. It would be digital currency, but the crux of this is, with all digital currency, governments that are going to set this up are going to set it up so there is one way into the currency and one way out of the currency. In other words, one way to put your money into the currency and one way for your money to come out of the currency. And at any given time, they can shut that off. And essentially, you don't own your money. This is in addition to all the weird stuff that these New World Order folks have talked about, like merging your biometric identity with your digital identity. In other words, your physical person with your digital identity. In other words, chipping you, okay? But their purpose is to dethrone the United States currency as the world reserve currency by doing these electronic currencies. And they started with something called a special drawing rights, which is managed out of the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. So this digital currency, China is the testbed for this. But I want you to hear this out of the article. Quote, since China has the ability to monitor transactions involving the digital currency, it may be easier to retaliate against anyone who rebuffs Beijing on sensitive issues like Taiwan and Hong Kong, end quote. So this is happening. And this may be why this weird announcement came out from Henry Kissinger, also on Technocracy News in a separate article. So the Trilateral Commission founding member, Henry Kissinger, addressed the John McCain Institute in Arizona. I'm going to stop right there. If you don't have a clue about who's a rhino, this kind of stuff should give you the clue. So Henry Kissinger goes to the John McCain Institute. Okay, so anybody the John McCain Institute endorses, supports, has down there for me, you probably need to really put them high on the radar screen. Okay. So he's down there. He's addressing the John McCain Institute in Arizona. And he essentially is warning of a potential nuclear and high-tech war. And I'm going to talk about what high-tech means here in a second. Between the two world superpowers. High-tech war means EMPs, means cyber attacks, means attacking specific things in a supply chain. So intentionally sending parts to the United States that are sabotaged that will crush the supply chain because it takes out a specific, very important point in the supply chain. Think of attacking a part in a production facility for food, and as soon as that part goes down, you don't have it for 6 months, everything grinds to a halt. You could have everything else for that supply. You could have the cows, you could have the chickens, the pigs, whatever. You could have everything else, but they cannot process because that part is down. That's high-tech war between the superpowers, for example. Quote, and now to the nuclear issue is added the high-tech issue, which in the field of artificial intelligence, in its essence, is based on the fact that man becomes a partner of machines and the machines can develop their own judgment. So in a military conflict between high-tech powers, it's of colossal significance. In other words, AI as well. So Henry Kissinger is now coming out saying this. That's interesting. I think people should take note. That now moves us to the national front. We have a lot here, but I want to give you some encouraging stuff out of Arizona. So the Pretenders Department of Justice is asking Arizona State Senate President Karen Fan to explain what steps she's taking to make sure the election audit she ordered doesn't violate federal laws prohibiting voter intimidation and requiring ballots be preserved. Get out of state business, federal government. So they sent a letter to Fan, essentially trying to intimidate the leader of the Arizona State Senate, okay? And then but project onto Arizona that they were intimidating voters, right? When in fact, it's the federal government that's now intimidating sitting legislators who are immune from prosecution. And I want to talk about this a little bit. There is immunity written into each state constitution for actions taken by legislators during session for this exact reason. King George III was trying to influence Parliament and members of Parliament individually during session. And so the Founding Fathers wrote this in, immunity, into the state constitutions. Virtually every state constitution has some immunity clause for legislators in it. And this is why it's there. I had people a couple years ago kind of trying to challenge us on this immunity thing. This is why it's there. They can't be prosecuted unless it involves a serious crime. And they can't be served civil process while they're in session either. So this is why that exists. This is an immunity against tyrants. And so we're seeing the Biden administration go down the road of King George III right now. But a very brave Arizona State Senator, and this coming to us from MediaRightNews.com, a very brave Arizona State Senator, Wendy Rogers, tweeted the article reporting on the situation where the DOJ is trying to intimidate this leader of the Arizona State Senate and issued a stern warning to the DOJ. I want to read this. Quote, Justice Department, you need to stay in your lane. Do not touch Arizona ballots or machines unless you want to spend time in an Arizona prison, end quote. Fantastic. Perfect. Hit back on these people. Exactly right. That's exactly what we should be doing. Call these people out. All right. Also on the national front, the FBI is combing through illegally gathered private data to build cases against Trump supporters. This is coming to us from NWO report. An FBI spokesman released a statement justifying the illicit privacy violations against the Fourth Amendment rights of citizens, saying that the, quote, query incidents referred to in this report occurred prior to the implementation of the FBI's system changes and training, end quote. In other words, totally screwed up, But we're good now. Trust us. Yeah. How about not? Okay. Let's go next to something else that's happening. And this has flown way under the radar. Coming to us from Technocracy News, a shadowy DARPA-linked company. So this is that defense research shadowy agency. Took over a chunk of the Pentagon's internet on Inauguration Day and has grown it since then. To the point that it now has quadrupled that real estate in the tech sphere, in the internet sphere, to 175 million IP addresses, which were previously owned by the U.S. Department of Defense. About 1/25th the size of the current internet in its whole. Why are they doing that? That's weird. Well, we don't know why they're doing that. But we do know this, that now there is a digital dictatorship in the offing. And it's not just DARPA, but you now have HARPA. Oh, yes. Can't make this up. And IARPA. But you have this creation of agencies that is now about the digital dictatorship they're trying to implement. Health Advanced Research Projects Agency. Oh, sounds fantastic. HARPA, right? And, of course, Google is right in the middle of it. That's got to be good. So we've been talking about the Internet of Things, how these things are going to come together. This is another part of it. And I'm going to talk about this article next time in depth. But DARPA, IARPA, and HARPA, what could go wrong? And lastly, we're going to end with President Trump. Coming to us from WorldNet Daily, President Trump rips Pence and gutless McConnell and warmonger Cheney in a blistering statement. So he issued this statement. And I love this. This is awesome. Warmonger Liz Cheney, this is the quote, who has virtually no support left in the great state of Wyoming, continues to unknowingly and foolishly say there was no election fraud in the 2020 presidential election, when in fact the evidence, including no legislative approvals as demanded by the U.S. Constitution, shows the exact opposite. Wow. Going right at him. And apparently they're trying to oust her in Republican leadership as well. Now, this is also interesting, too, that Trump is calling out Pence now. And here's what he said in his statement. Quote, had Mike Pence referred the information on six states back to state legislators and legislatures, and had gutless and clueless minority leader Mitch McConnell, he blew two seats in Georgia that should have never been lost, fought to expose all of the corruption that was presented at the time, with more found since, we would have had a far different presidential result, and our country would not be turning into a socialist nightmare. Never give up. That is a, wow, excellent statement. And I hope that encourages you from President Trump. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. I want to say a special thank you to everybody that attended the event last night. Huge success. Almost 650 people. Patriots organizing right now. If you get a chance, you can also catch Patriot Radio on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. And we're replayed across the entire American Christian Network at 9 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays. All right, it's my honor to introduce Glenn Morgan of We the Governed once again. He's also the executive director for Citizens Alliance for Property Rights. Glenn, great to have you back on the show. How are you doing? Crazy session.
Matt, yeah, doing well. And as always, you know, at least the your pocketbook and your freedoms are never safe when the legislature's in session. And now that it's not, in session. At least we don't have to worry about any more additional craziness coming out of Olympia. But of course, there's always the potential for a special session later this fall. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I heard. Well, when it's online, you can do whatever you want to, I guess. It's not
right,
big
right.
A deal.
Right, and that's, of course, what made this last session. I really do think that the approach that they took this last session is mostly what made the session as extreme as it was, just because there were a lot of things they could do to avoid scrutiny by the public and avoid the minority, the Republicans in this case, from really being able to be as effective as they would be normally, and just to avoid the hairdresser situation, right, where they, you know, citizens get frustrated with some insane piece of legislation, they go down and show up in Olympia. That'll oftentimes change the mind of elected officials from going down a bad path. And when that can't happen, they feel pretty insulated at home when they're on Zoom meetings and whoever's helping them behind the computer giving them advice is there, and you can't tell what's happening. So that was a big problem with this legislative session.
Yeah, it really was. And I love how you put this. I didn't break the law. It was broken when I got here. I always ran into that legislature. It was kind of do as I say, not as I do. Yeah, right. We've been breaking the law for 30 years, you know, but just help us fix it. Right. So explain what was exposed this session particularly, and maybe before and after this session as well, that people should really know about that maybe flew under the radar because we don't expect our local news to report on this kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, there were a lot of bad bills to pass, and you probably discussed some of them already, but, you know, some of the tax bills and the structure that occurred that, you know, that way with the just the angle they went down and the anti-law enforcement bills that happened, and as well, I think some of those were the more significant, directly impactful bad things that came out of this last legislative session. But when you look at that, especially with the law enforcement, I mean, I know that, remember, I came and testified, and you and I had worked together, actually, on some civil asset forfeiture reform when we were in the legislature, which would be considered, a reform of overreaching police powers. And yet the Democrats totally ignored that. None of them voted in favor of it, if I remember right. We got a committee hearing, which was a miracle in itself. And yet, instead, the approach they're taking is to make it a lot harder for law enforcement to actually enforce the law on real crimes, you know, genuinely real significant crimes, making it so that we're more likely to have bad things happen and not less likely. And then, of course, this approach that they're taking with the taxes between the cap and trade and the low carbon fuel standard is essentially a gas tax. You know, these things act like stealth tax increases to the lowest income citizens in the community. And it's always just amazing to me that we probably are not more effective at communicating just how bad some of these policies essentially are for the most vulnerable and the lowest income amongst us, because they're the ones that pay the price for the gas going up 60, 80 cents a gallon, or that pay the price for a radical increase in crime in their neighborhood, or that pay the price for just general increase across the board of cost of goods and cost of living. And it's just very rarely messaged correctly, I don't think, or well or adequately on our side when those issues are going on. And that, you know, the Olympia is just full of hypocrisy, and the left is full of hypocrisy all the time. And I think it just needs to be called out on it. And I just did a video actually that launched today, but it's my most recent video, and it's one of my favorite state agencies, the Department of Ecology. And it's about this massive, growing toxic waste pile that's been growing on the Department of Ecology's property, right in the front yard. That every day, you know, these employees of the Department of Ecology, including the director, have to drive by this growing pile, including bike chop shops, garbage burn piles, open pit latrines, garbage stretching into the woods for hundreds of yards, piles of needles, because a lot of it's drug addicts that are moving in there. And it's literally the front yard. They can see it from their office. They can see it grow. And it's owned by the state. That it's Enterprise Services, but it's Department of Ecology campus right there. And it's not just them, it's the EPA employees that work there, because they rent space at that building. It's the Conservation District employees, they all rent space. They're Washington State Fish and Wildlife employees drive by, that's their office as well. They're all clustered together, a big crew of greenies, gangrene. And they're driving by genuine pollution events that are going on right now. They see it every day. They literally, not one of them lifts a hand to address it or fix it. And it's, you know, they have spill equipment in the back, and they don't do, you know, all this gear they have to clean up. They, you know, an average Boy Scout troop can come out and make, you know, and clean stuff up, but they won't do it. worse and worse. Meanwhile, they're going out and harassing property owners or a farmer who has a cow, you know, 600 yards from the nearest stream, and they threaten him with destroying his livelihood over the potential to pollute. Just the potential that that cow might pollute. And I had done a video back in 2016 on a property owner in Whatcom County who had a horse on 3 acres, hundreds of yards away, you know, and Department of Ecology threw the book at him, coming after them like it was the end of time and the massive pollution event. They couldn't prove anything. They just said there was a potential to pollute. And the only time they stopped is when their horse died. And then the Department of Ecology was satisfied, and they moved on. And meanwhile, this new director, Lori Watson, who is appointed, she's perfectly qualified to run the Department of Ecology. She has a degree in philosophy and women's studies. She worked at the AG's office litigating against small property owners and trying to destroy their lives. So she really came into the Department of Ecology with the perfect skill set to manage that agency. She had to drive by this every day and didn't do anything about it. And so we did a video story. I went back there. I walked through this massive, this is a landfill essentially going on their own property. And video took photos of all this, and I put it up on a video. And now I know that put pressure on them, and now they're suddenly going out and scrambling to try to clean it up. But it's been there for years, just growing. Every day these guys go by. And I think that sometimes that's the level of hypocrisy that is going on. And if we don't call attention to it and point it out, it just continues to happen. And, I think that's a big part of what I'm trying to do and others, just showing that this is just really out of control and we need to expose the truth.
We do need to expose the truth, and we do need to be vigilant on it. They expect us just to kind of forget or not look or just, hey, it's just going to be too hard if we say anything. But if we don't say anything, if we don't stand up, they just take that as an imprimatur to continue doing bad actions or allowing bad actions to happen. So let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff you uncovered during the session. There's a lot of connections people don't know about. And what stood out to you as well as kind of the worst of the worst during this session that people may not have heard about in the media?
Well, I think one of the things that was ignored, and it didn't end up passing, but it was a bill that came close to passing and probably would have this session, except the Democrats tripped over themselves. But it had to do with the data privacy bill. And what's funny about this is essentially, this is really highlighting some of the collusion between big tech and the Democrat Party in Washington State. And there should be no surprise that they're basically hand-in-hand friends. I mean, if you look at the top donations that senior members of Amazon, Microsoft, or Google, or Facebook, or any Twitter, or any of these other groups, where they put their money, it's almost, it's good. 90%, 95% goes to a lot of the Democrat leadership in the state. But there's a general recognition that that data privacy is a problem. Most people are annoyed and frustrated by it. And so these big tech companies were trying to push through a bill that basically said it was data privacy, but what it really was is they were trying to make it so that they'd be exempted from any liability for harm caused to citizens by the release of all their private data and the policies that these big tech companies were going to push through. And the only problem the Democrats were running into is there was also another constituency of theirs, which are the trial lawyers, who wanted to be able to litigate against these big companies. And so there was a little bit of a fight the Democrats had between these two constituencies. And essentially, the Republicans were kind of out. They really weren't even involved in this because this was entirely a Democrat fight and debate. The Republicans generally wanted to have less protection for the big tech companies and make them more liable. But the only reason they didn't end up voting on it was because they were also trying to push through critical race theory training for teachers and everybody else. And Jim Walsh, Representative Walsh, proposed a really good amendment that was going to eliminate 9 of the core teachings of critical race theory so that they couldn't actually teach that. And the Democrat caucus tripped over itself to try to spend all day arguing about how they were really woken down with the struggle. And it's actually some of the best video I've ever seen of elected officials prostrating themselves. I mean, just going overboard to show how woke they were, that they look so absurd and ridiculous that normal people looking at that video will realize that these guys are entirely lost and out of control. It was kind of a beautiful thing, but they were so concerned about showing how woke they were that they ran out the clock on one of the last days of session, and a bunch of these bad bills didn't get passed.
Which is a good thing, but we still have a massive tax increase and massive spending increases that came with this session, in addition to kind of setting the stage for increased control mechanisms over everybody's lives. If you could, get into those.
Well, some of them are, you know, the when the whole COVID emergency rules came in place, I did a video talking about how this was going to have an impact on the tax returns in the state and that the budgets were going to have to be cut. And that was common belief. Everybody believed that. What I didn't anticipate was the total volume of federal tax dollars that were going to be sent like manna from heaven and, you know, helicoptered out to all the states. And when you add all that up and the fact that, you know, there was an impact on tax receipts, but it tended to be shifted in different ways. The state actually had more money than they had budgeted for. They were actually doing really well. They didn't need to raise any taxes. And they didn't need any new money. So what they decided is that's always a problem for the Democrats in charge. They need to jack up the expenses because they were looking for an excuse to pass an income tax. That's always kind of been their holy grail for the last 20 years or so in the state legislature. The Democrats have always pushed for that. And so they were able to get it through this time, the capital gains tax. And it's not a new idea. This has been around for a long time. When you were in the legislature, you probably heard about it almost every leg session. And it usually wouldn't go anywhere because their people would get motivated and mobilized and go down there and oppose it. And eventually they'd get enough blowback that they'd kind of drop it, right? It would fall out along the way. And the one thing to remember is that if you're a Democrat legislator in particular, there's a lot more campaign contributions if you don't solve the problem than if you do. And they're not total idiots. They know that if they just make sure they can virtue signal enough to ensure they get money, but they realize some of these policies are really bad, so they'll drag it out year after year after year and then blame it on the Republicans for why they don't get passed. But the reality is they're not really that keen to pass it, because once they do, the people that support it aren't going to give them money as much anymore. So it's kind of this really incestuous kind of thing that's going on in Olympia. Now, the capital gains tax is the worst, because the presumption by the Democrats is that this Supreme Court will uphold it the way it was written. And it's just an income tax by another name. But the one thing that, you know, there's obviously been multiple, there's at least one primary lawsuit that's been filed against it, a second one that's likely to be filed. And it's also likely, though, to be repealed with an initiative, probably an initiative to the legislature, most likely. But there's a lot of distraction focused on that. I don't think there's been enough attention paid to the low carbon fuels standard and the carbon tax, those two, or the carbon tax scheme that they're going to be doing, this carbon credits thing. Those are just as bad in the sense of taxes, but they're hidden a little bit because the way Inslee pushed that through, and it was Inslee kind of controlling it with Lori Jenkins, that it's tied to this other piece of legislation that didn't get through, which was some of these bills to fund it. So I anticipate that they're going to come out of the woodwork on some of those issues. But, you know, this is just – it. We're really dealing with just a bad situation going on here. And I think that it's hard for people to see until you go out in the communities a lot. And I've been in a lot of counties just even the last couple weeks, traveling all over, mainly Western Washington. I'm going to be in Spokane on the 22nd. But there's a big frustration building among average people who are not political, who probably don't even really pay that much attention to politics, but they're seeing this big increase in collapse on the quality of life and the cost of living and crime and the homeless industrial complex bloating and going everywhere, spreading their poison and pain to all the communities. And it's really awakening a lot of people. I don't know that I would say that it's not always a political awakening yet, but it's definitely a frustration with the establishment. And if you look back on American history just in recent times, when you have big changes in politics, national changes, where there's a big wave and conservatives or Republicans oftentimes are the beneficiary of these types of waves, it usually comes on the heels of a collapse in public safety and a surge in crime or just this collapse that the socialists and the left just can't seem to help themselves. They seem to always want to destroy the urban environment and turn it into a nightmare. And so they'll drive new constituencies to vote, if not maybe for Republicans, certainly against the Democrats. And that's what I sense going on all over the state right now in a really big upsurge. I just don't – it's being kind of concealed by how the media is tending to report it. And I don't know if part of it's just this COVID thing where people are focused on other issues. But the average person out there now who's having to deal with this surge in crime in Kent and Renton, Tukwila and Berrien and Bellevue and Edmonds and places like this, and they're seeing the descent of Seattle or Olympia and Bellingham, places like that, it's really creating this interesting change in mindset. And it's really something that if we could take advantage of that and really expose it, I think there's an opportunity to make a really, really big impact, even as soon as this year and certainly next year's election as well.
We had an event last night, Stop the Deep State event with Alex Newman. We had 650 people almost that showed up there. And I completely agree with you. I think people are done. They want to know what to do. And they don't want people that say one thing on the campaign trail and do another in office anymore. They don't want anybody like that. It doesn't matter your party. They don't want anybody like that. They want people that are going to actually defend liberty, their families, their way of life.
Right. And, you know, even there's a lot of people that are simply just wanting to live their life without, these horrible things going on around them. And I think that you're seeing it, but this homeless stuff especially, and of course, it's not really about homelessness. It's about the drug addiction. It's about the crime. And it's about going very lawless in a lot of these urban centers in particular. And that tends to affect people and wake them up in a bigger way than I believe that these people really, that certainly the establishment, this leadership doesn't really quite understand. And part of it I attribute to the fact that we've been relatively lucky and fortunate where we live. Nobody who lives in Washington, Idaho, or Oregon actually has any concept of what it's like to live in a really violent crime sort of environment. We don't. I remember I didn't know when I went back to live in New York City pre-Giuliani when I was going to college there. That was it was horrific. And I think people don't realize what it's like to live in that kind of environment. My sophomore year, 2,100 people were murdered within 10 miles of my dorm room. And the next year they celebrated when it got, there were still 2,100, but it was like a little bit less the next year. And they were excited. It finally went down a little bit. But that was the environment that I lived in and the people in New York City were living in when they decided that despite the fact that only 15% of the city considered itself Republican, that they were going to vote a Republican mayor in for the first time in a generation because they were sick of this situation that they were seeing and living all around them. And those are the types of things that affect people in a more personal way. It's not just the violent crime that you see reported, but also things like your house being broken into or not feeling safe at home or not knowing what's going to happen to your kids and those, James Q. Wilson kind of broken windows issues in your community, seeing that kind of decay occur and that lack of the unsettling experience that acts like a stealth tax on people, especially who don't have a lot of money. And now they have to buy a special lock for the door. Or they go out and become a gun owner for the first time. Whatever it is that's happening, we're seeing all the trends and changes that are occurring that set the foundation for that kind of a change all around the state in places where I don't think people realize. It's not hard to convince people in Stevens County to vote for good people or to recognize the problem. But I'm talking about change going on in Kent and Renton and Auburn and down, the North Seattle and places that that Republicans long ago forgot how to find them on the map.
Right. Well, do you think that there is going to be increased? Because let me back up for a second. It seems like they have really overplayed their hand and they're continuing to overplay it. And it's almost like they feel like they need to culminate everything in the next 2 years or something. And that violence on the streets of places like Seattle and Portland is actually going to increase, that there is going to be more chaos, that there is going to be more government as the solution as we go forward. And they really aren't listening to the people. They're just going to go full speed ahead.
They're clearly going full speed ahead because one of the things that I see occurring, and this is more significant on the left, in my opinion, is because of their obsession with COVID. And this self-isolation, where they're putting themselves into, they're quarantining themselves in very limited, kind of elitist sort of enclaves, especially the political leadership on the other side. They don't talk to anybody that they disagree with. They don't have any contact at all in their lives with people who, they literally don't have any of that kind of contact with people who don't see the world exactly the way that they do. And that's always a dangerous thing because, especially when you're in political leadership of any kind, once you've done that, you start to self-isolate. You create this sort of self-feeding perception of the world that dictates and determines the type of policies and rules and laws that you think are acceptable. And so pretty soon it looks like an evergreen faculty lounge discussion, you know, approach to the real world. And that is divorced from reality. And that is not the reality most people live in. And this obsession with race to the, to the exclusion of all else, this obsession with esoteric kind of belief systems that are hostile to the way most people view the world, like to defund the police or thinking that it's okay to have a bunch of junkies live in your elementary school's playground. I mean, just self-evidently stupid things that they're doing shows a detachment from reality that's so extreme, and they don't seem to be aware of how that comes across to the average person. And that is because they've self-isolated. And I do think this whole coronavirus, COVID lockdown world has affected them a lot more than it does for those of us who've chosen to not be locked down, who don't, who aren't going to be, submitting to some of the more crazy approaches that they've taken. You know, we're getting around. I mean, I'm all over the state. And I meet with activists almost every day, and groups up in Whidbey Island or Woodinville or all over the state. And so you get a pretty good sense if you meet 500 or 600 people in a week, every week, that you're going around talking to them all different sites. And many of them told me I was a Democrat 6 months ago. These are real people. And there's a certain, when you start to hear the same thing over and over again, you start to know there's something going on. And the Democrats appear entirely detached from that. And some of the Republican leadership is a little bit too. But you really see it on the Democrat side because this was just such an extreme approach to everything. Crime is on the rise in every measurable way in the urban centers, most particularly. You don't see it as much rurally, but you definitely see it in the urban centers. And I think it's a lot, there's always a lag time between when you find out about that and how bad it really is. And so I think it's a lot worse than it's being reported so far, but it's escalating, and people sense that. And they see it, they're experiencing it, they have personal experiences with their neighbor or their friend or their cousin or somebody, if it hasn't happened to them directly yet. That is going to influence how they view the world and what they decide to do, both politically and what they believe. And sometimes it takes odd things to wake them up. Those of us who maybe care about freedom and liberty and we've paid attention to it maybe on a more daily basis or were more directly involved in it, you wonder why didn't these people see it long ago. But that's the wrong attitude, because everybody discovers this sometimes in their own timeline. And for whatever reason, they weren't paying attention before, but they are now. And the perspective that they're starting to bring to the how they're going to decide who's going to be in charge or who they're going to vote for, who they're going to support, I think that's going to have a really big impact in what we see happen in the state over the next 5-6 years. And we're not alone, but Washington's where I live, and that's what I care about, and I'm seeing it in a way I've never seen before.
I agree. I'm seeing it not just people becoming awake, but they're actually getting out and starting to do stuff. And
correct.
Starting to challenge this. And that's what's really encouraging to me. In the last 2 minutes... Oh, go ahead.
Matt, I'm going to mention something. This is the one thing that... the best activists that I work with oftentimes were Democrats just a little while ago. They might have been on the opposite side of an issue even. And they suddenly had an awakening, whatever it is. And they've come over. And they bring the same fervor and belief that they're right, that they felt like they had when they were there. Only now they're angry because they think they know they've been lied to. And so these types of people are coming over, and they are born activists, and they are angry at what's happened. They're angry at what they see happening. They realize they were wrong before, oftentimes. And so this is what's really changing the nature of the volume of people that are getting involved and the desire to actually make an impact at the moment. Hope it happens and goes away on its own.
Yeah, absolutely. Last minute we have left. Where can people go to find out more information and get involved?
Well, if they want to read more, go to WeTheGoverned.com. And in particular, I would recommend going to my YouTube channel, which is WeTheGoverned, and look at some of the videos I put up, because the last few have really been pretty impactful in their own way. And this recent one on Department of Ecology, you have to see it to believe it. And it is worth sharing those with others and letting more people know about what's going on.
Perfect. Also, you said that you're going to be here in the area. If you're doing a presentation, can people come to that, or are you going to be doing it just kind of privately?
No, we got two different presentations. I'm doing a Cavebird lunch on the 22nd at around noon. I believe it's at the airport right now. There's a little bit of concerns with some of the rules potentially changing out there, so we may have to change that a little bit. So Citizens Lunch of Property Rights will be doing a luncheon. And then and that's and guns is the emphasis there. And then the second one, I'm going to be at the Lincoln Day dinner for the Republicans out there, just attending. But if you want to see me and talk to me, I will be there.
Excellent. If you could make sure send me some information so we can get that out to everybody who might want to attend. And Glenn, just appreciate all your hard work. Appreciate your fight for freedom, your fight for liberty, your fight for truth. Keep up everything that you're doing. And I really appreciate, too, that there's a lot of taxes that haven't passed because you have been putting out the truth.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for having me on the air, and looking forward to seeing everybody out there.
All right. Blessings and keep up the fight. Glenn Morgan from We the Governed, also the executive director for the Citizens Alliance for Property Rights. So going to be out here this month at a luncheon for CAPR talking about, well, property rights and guns, the things that matter, especially for us out here in the American Readout. If you get a chance, check out the We the Governed site. He does a lot of great videos and primary source documents there, especially on who is connected to whom through the money channels, which is one of the big missing pieces, I think, for a lot of people. So take a look at that, and also get to know him a little bit, you know, kind of his style. He really brings the truth out regardless of whether it helps or hurts Democrats or Republicans. He brings the truth out because he is about preserving the way of life that we love here in America and in our constitutional republic. Lastly, I want to go back to something we talked about earlier, and that was the event last night, the Stop the Deep State presentation by Alex Newman. If you didn't watch it, I think it is going to be recorded. It's going to be put up on YouTube. I'll post it online. Please take a look at it. He had a ton of primary source documents and also was motivating people to get involved. 650 people almost showed up there. That's pretty incredible. That means America is rising up right now. Be a part of it. Don't sit on the couch anymore. Get involved. This is Matt Shea. Thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you, and may he make this one the greatest generation. Keep up the fight.